AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Off the ball. Rugby.
It's very hard when you're on the back foot, particularly you're being dominated, giving away so many penalties, to get a foothold in with the referee.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod Club. On Off the Ball, in partnership with AIB, proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships for men's football, hurling, ladies football and camogie. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
How are you doing? And you're very welcome back to the Football Pod. James O'Donoghue, Paddy Andrews. I very nearly went James Andrews, Paddy O'Donoghue, and I just don't know if that would work for you, but...
James Andrews.
A mashup. It's great now. My nephew is James Wrong Andrews, man. So there, yeah, it works. There is a James Andrews out there, yeah.
Kind of sounds like you should have been involved back in 1916, Seamus MacAndrew.
I'm a singer's name as well, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll see. He's only about 12, so we'll see what he becomes in the future.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd be a baller if he decides to go down that route, Paddy.
How are you, Tom?
I'm good.
What's your contribution to Tommy's life segment of the pod that is
going on for now. You're sticking with this, are you?
our listeners are demanding of Tommy. It's not us.
I haven't got much to add, lads. I got my car insurance paid there, so I'm all sorted for the next year.
What a week you've had.
Jesus Christ. This might be a short-lived segment if that's the peak of it.
Managed to knock 20 quid off it, you know.
I feel like an ad, a plug coming in here. Who did you get your car insurance with? Was it AIG?
No. We won't do that today. No, there's nothing happening with me, lads. I'm just trying to get through the next 2 weeks. I'm off from the 13th of December. We're actually going to New York.
Home Alone. Jesus. Yeah. Oh. Kevin McAllister himself.
It was meant to be a birthday present for Shifra, but I let it slip last week. So she knows now. So I can let you know. But yeah, so I'm trying to get everything wrapped up before we head away on the 13th for a couple of minutes.
Speaking of Home Alone, do you know Macaulay Culkin, his kids now watch Home Alone and they have no idea that their father is
McAllister.
Yeah.
What? How? Doesn't make sense.
You never told them. They're probably very young, like.
Okay. Have you started the 1st of December here today, friends? Have we started the Christmas buzz yet? Decorations up or Christmas movies? I did see that, yeah. Remember, when you didn't have all the streaming stuff, though, and when something was on RTE, it was like, I'm going to watch that. Like, Die Hard is on about 12 different things. Like, you can just watch it at any time. Like.
You know it for a week before as well that it was on.
Yeah, your weekend was built around. Well, Die Hard is on at 9:30. Record Match of the Day. You watch that on Sunday. But what was it? Netflix. All three of them are on. Or there's about five Die Hards now. They're all on Netflix or Disney or Prime or one of them fucking things. But anyway.
Yeah.
So you're not very festive, Jimmy. I love that United top though. Tell the listeners who aren't watching on YouTube, the treble jersey, the zip.
Beckham 7 on the back.
Is that legit or is it
do the fellas on the beach in Tenerife sell legit jerseys?
yes, of course.
When the police came along, they did all run. I wasn't sure why, but
it looks good, Jimmy. It looks like a good quality. If it is a fake, and I'm not being disparaging about our friends in Tenerife on the beach, but it looks genuine.
I wouldn't put it in the wash too many times. Maybe once. It might be good for one wash.
Okay.
I think you can wash it without water. It needs to be air cleaned.
Just save for the pod. Save for the pod and
hand wash it. Don't put it in with Sophia's gear. Like, turn everything pink. That'd actually be good for you. Yes, yeah. She'd be happy enough with that.
That's true. And United are back, baby.
Oh, God. We're not doing this, are we?
I said they were back last week. And they proceeded to lose to Everton. But
That was the worst of the worst, the Everton game.
Yeah, 10 men, complacency. I didn't expect them to get much yesterday. I was pleasantly surprised. I was at a christening and I missed it. And I was waiting for a shambolic update. I was, United are after winning. I was like, what? Yeah. Away to Palace.
I was in the hide and getting updates on my phone and pleasantly surprised. But lads, Palace were wrecked. They were playing European football during the week against Strasbourg.
So. Hey, Tommy, that's part of the gig. You're trying to progress. You got to deal with that.
It is. James, I like the jersey too. It's a cracker.
Thanks, Tom.
I will work on those updates. I don't know if it's going to last this series, but I will work on them over the next little while.
Well, New York would be good. When we come back in January, we want to hear all about New York and your stay at the Plaza.
Yes.
How did you start with the car insurance when you had New York in the locker?
I probably wasn't going to say anything about New York, but yeah, I'll fill you in. I'll keep you in the loop. And if you need me to bring home anything...
You're a couple of gigs lined up over there, I'd say. Oh, no, yeah. The Long Hall and the Westbury, all of them.
No, it might pop in.
You're making money. He's the only man to go to New York and he's going to make money over there. Like, Jesus Christ. Like.
No, I'd love to. I'd love to do that. No,
he's tricked Schieffer into thinking it's a romantic weekend. And he has double job anyway.
I'll meet you back at JFK in 3 days.
No, boys, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But it is... a busy, busy, busy time in Gaelic football, in the GA. There's so much happening. There were some beautiful club games at the weekend. And I know you boys were on top of it all. We'll get to that in a moment. There's a lot else happening too. James, our conversation around boot steals last week caught a bit of fire. It turns out, it did. It turns out that the chap who used to look after you back in the day reached out, happened to listen in. Tommy, just listening to the Nike boot section on the pod. I was the guy in Nike who sorted James out for a wee bit. A gas man. He loved the tiempo. So that was.
I did love a tiempo. That was Mark
who reached out. Yeah, I must get back to him. So, Mark, fair play. You never know who's listening, lads.
I know. The reach of the pod. They were very sound. I must say they were very sound. Very good to me. So.
Yeah.
I'll just leave my address in the comments here. I'm just
Kerry Road, Kerry Road, Limerick.
Yeah, a good Westmead man, Mark. So, fair play. Nice to hear from you, Mark. And then I thought actually at the weekend it was kind of buried amongst. There was a provincial draw last week. I might run you through that and see are you excited about any of the games in April or May. I doubt it.
Yeah, the preliminary game is always the only decent note from the provincial draws.
Well, it's saucy this time around, isn't it?
That's what I mean. That's the story. Well, Kerry Cork on the opposite side. I think Connacht is set up potentially for maybe traditional Galway Mayo final. I know the Rossies will have something to say about that. But
if Mayo and Roscommon win their games, in New York and London. Which you would expect, they'll meet in a Connacht semi-final. And Galway are on the other side of that draw. So, that's interesting. We've bit of news actually about Galway that we might bring you in a moment. And as well as that, we had the Leinster draw, Paddy. And it looks like Ger Brennan could be in line with his Dublin side. He's on the same side of the draw as Louth. Louth play Wexford. And Dublin play the winners of Carlow and Wicklow. So they're lining up in Leinster. And on the far side, we've got Kildare, Offaly and Laois, Meath, Westmeath and Longford on the same side.
Leinster chapter, lads. Everyone's looking forward to it for the first time in a long time. But the standout, everyone on that draw, the provincial draw, who's in the preliminary round in Ulster, and to get Tyrone Armagh it's beautiful. What a start to the championship. We're wishing away the National League and the rest of the club championship already. Let's get to Armagh Tyrone and the Ulster championship.
It makes their season so long.
Yeah.
Whoever's in that provisional game in Ulster, an extra round in Ulster, it's already long enough. Every game so difficult. And then you look down the country with teams kind of getting through handy enough. It's a
Kerry.
Disadvantage.
Oh, everything's lined up for Kerry. Like, it's a joke.
What can I say? No, it is. It's tough. It's tough on the Ulster crowd, I think. Whoever's in that provisional game, it was Donegal last year, wasn't it? How many games did they play to get to the final?
11.
Hey, you don't have to win it. You don't have to win the Ulster Championship if you want to win the All-Ireland.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
True. Armagh didn't.
Just putting that out there.
And it's funny, Donegal and Down are on the same side as Fermanagh, Armagh, Tyrone as well. So they could meet in an All-Ireland semi or an Ulster semi-final. So look, it's going to be tasty. We'll get to all that again. That was just on Thursday night. On Friday, lads,
a bit of news came out that kind of caught the eye, and it's just keeping in on top of the chat we were having last week. The GPA and the GA have signed a recognition protocol for image rights. I thought that was quite interesting. I'm not sure, did you see that? Anyone ever approach you to purchase your image rights, James, when you were playing, or Paddy? Did you ever have conversations about this? Did it ever, you know, rear its head in your squads?
Amazon got on to me. Bezos.
Okay, I was looking for...
Boohoo.com. Geez, that would be good, all right. Is this over the cliff or thing?
It's surely related to the cliff. Yeah.
It's not. It's not.
No one else's image matters a shit, lads. But really, it's not.
Shane Walsh is doing a bit for some menswear thing, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, but it's different to that. It's more so to do with protecting their image rights, their naming rights, their likeness when it comes to companies maybe using it without their permission. So yes. It actually weird.
It's a good thing. It is a good thing. It's progress, and I know there's a lot of talk around the GAA and the amateurism of it, and potentially a move towards semi-professional, whatever it might be. We know we're going to talk about Glenn's letter around this, around where the club sits and all of that. That was another big talking point as well. Like, but look, I think Shane O'Donnell spoke very well at this. Was it last year or the year before?
It was earlier this year, yeah.
Friends at GAA Plus, the nation's platform, around players being used in advertising campaigns and maybe not receiving payment rent around that. So look, I think it's great that there's progress in that from the GPA side. So it was, I'm sure it's welcome from all the players across all codes as well.
Yeah, it was Shane McGuigan, Barry Nash, Conor Callaghan and Shane O'Donnell on that advertisement. And you're right, it actually was a part of the conversation, but I'm sure the conversation is going around a lot of it. But now that the GAA Plus is fully in the ownership of the GAA, it turns out the GPA will now receive 15% of the platform's license fees and 15% of dividends annually. Paddy,
I've just got a pay cut. Like, scrap that thing. Why did I hear about this?
I'm just breaking it to you,
buddy. Send me Jarlett's number there.
But
there is going to be loads of opportunities for the intercounty fellas going forward, I think, because there's so much coverage of all the games. You know, we have access to the majority of matches now. And the Clifford thing will just start that ball rolling, probably slowly, but there will be chances for fellas to, you know, and opportunities to maybe make some money outside of the pitch.
That's great. Players across all codes deserve to
be looked
after.
We should be making the players huge stars. That's how you get, you know, the kids more excited, the kids more involved. I know, like, Clifford obviously is the man. Like, we need more of them, more fellas who are idols, and it just gets the excitement up way more. And then obviously there's opportunities there for those players then.
Question for the two of you. Do you think that in an era where, you know, maybe media access, I don't think it's definitely not what it was back in the day. There are times it can be difficult to get a hold of players. There's times where it actually can be surprisingly okay to ask someone to come and do something. I've always found with the pod, we've a good chance of getting players whenever we've asked. But do you think that when it's in the benefit of the players themselves, their career is so short, their opportunities to, not even saying grow a brand, but grow that sporting personality and, I suppose, be themselves?
But nobody has done it, I suppose, Tom.
Do you think we might see a bit more access? Do you think we might see players happier to put themselves forward, especially when it comes to hurling, when they're hidden behind the helmet and, you know, not even names in the back of jersey? I'm not saying that's the thing we should do, but, like, do you think it might start moving towards that?
We need someone like David Clifford to do something. That's why it'll definitely be a step forward for everyone if they want to do that. But you still wouldn't want it to go to, like, do you see James Madison there? He's doing an old YouTube thing at games with influencers and stuff. It's cringe. Like, you still want fellas to be completely set on their team and everything. You don't want it to come against you that way. But I definitely think with the whole social media platform that people have, the media, the podcast, there is a way to get out there and have a chance of, you know, making some money out of it as well, I suppose. Because the only people who aren't making money are the players. Look at all the camps, you know, your physios, your doctors, you know, coaches now at the stage, managers, isn't there that thing about managers being paid? The only ones that aren't your players, and they're the heroes, they're the stars, they're the ones who have to be put forward. So maybe if a couple of more people like Clifford come forward and want to do something, there'll be chances there for fellas. I think it's all for the good.
We were chatting about this briefly this morning. Andy Moran has brought his Mayo football team, including
Kobe McDonald, by the way, on his 43 strong panel over to Portugal this week for a training camp.
Oh, very nice. Very
5 days, Sunday to Friday. I've heard the two of you talk about the benefits of before, James in particular. You know, those training camps, the contact time, the amount of sessions you can get in early doors. We heard that McGuinness brought the Donegal boys to Abu Dhabi last year. Look how long their season went on. Kildare, there's talk that they'd be heading away as well in the next week or two. And that's brilliant, right? And it's phenomenal. But like the players, I'm sure that could be tricky to get time off as well. I'm sure like to commit yourself, and that's only a microcosm of it. But like that can't be easy either, getting it off from work.
Well, I suppose your annual leave quota is taken up 100% by the football calendar. Like you're getting the fixtures and your dates and all that, and you're booking your annual leave off to suit that. But you love it. I know people say it's a sacrifice, whatever, but you can't wait for those weeks abroad and weeks away and weeks together. You're spending whatever 5 days with your best buddies and have a goal and have, you know, you're fit, you're training, you're in the sun. Come here. That's the least of their worries is the time off.
They're the best periods. You look back in your career, and you know, even lads we've been talking in the off season over numerous years of doing the pod, like those trips and camps they're amazing experiences for players. Particularly things for someone like for Andy, for a new coach going in, I think that would be invaluable to them to get that time and get to know each other, get their own systems and what they're going to plan ahead. So I absolutely agree. I think players and coaches love going on them. And on the employer side, I would have had this a bit myself. Just not actually camps and like team holidays, because they're usually at the end of the year, and you're right, you don't have a whole pile of annual leave left up. I was working at Davy or Bank of Ireland at the time, and I think most employers, 99% of employers, are going to be okay and on side with allowing their, you know, these young lads or young ladies going off on the ladies team's trips. They're nearly ambassadors for the business or the company that they're working for. And the company will get a lot of promotion around, we have X, Y, or Z playing in the All-Ireland Hurling Final or the Camogie Final or the Football Final at the weekend. And it is a brilliant thing for businesses to have and show their support for, as Jimmy said, at the stars of Irish sport. So we would have lots of these trips, and I don't think I ever heard some big employers ever having an issue with the kind of saying, listen, you guys deserve that, fair play. And when the players come back the following season and there's events happening for those companies, that the guys are more than happy to kind of give their additional time for that as well. Like, so just on the point that Jimmy was made to Tommy just beforehand around, will we see more engagement from players or coaches with the media? I 100% agree that there's a massive demand for it, that you watch, we're all sports fans, we all want to know what's happening behind the scenes. We want to know the best players, the coaches, and GA fans are absolutely no different at all. But I just think this is an Irish thing, lads. It's not just you. You look at our Irish rugby team, you look at the Leinster or Munster teams or their soccer team, you've seen a bit more them. You know, I think Troy Parrott did an incredible interview after that famous day, and you got to know just a bit how he thinks. Like, but I just think sports stars, particularly in Ireland, are just so conscious of keeping their head down and not being accused of being too big for their boots. Yeah. And it's just, I think it's an Irish society thing. I don't think it's just in sport. We are, we're an amazing place, but we will be cynical by nature. That's really our default. And someone does well in anything and they'd be looking across going, look at that fucker there, giving it the big one. Like, and it's not that. But I think that's just nearly ingrained in Irish people. And it's the same when it comes to sport, where, you know, a guy or a girl does an incredible thing in a match and they're nearly conscious of going, celebrating that, because their opponents or the media or whoever, any in society, will just go, your man's too big for his boots. And Clifford is a exceptional example of, here's a guy who's an absolute superstar, but he's so genuine and down to earth and is so focused on performing, and he's praised because of that. I think that endears him to even more people, whereas if he was nearly the American model or a James Madison, as Jimmy said, I don't know if Irish people appreciate that type of thing. You know, it's like, be more like the Americans. We're not fucking American. So I agree there's a massive demand from the public to know more about our stars. And the same, you want my nippers to grow up and idolise these brilliant role models. But I don't know if we're going to see players. I just don't know if there's...
Yeah,
players. There's got to be an Irish, the more Irishy version of it. You know, there's got to be more
access, but not in your face type thing. Maybe.
Yeah, I think there's a balance there. I think actually, Paddy, what you're saying, it's a really good point. But there's also, and it's not just in Irish sports, but there's a cult or a code of silence at times that when
legacy, the All Blacks, that fucking book, everyone talks about that.
There's a bit of that, and I'm sure it appeared in your dressing room at times as well with the Dubs during that brilliant spell that you had.
They copied us.
Up all
brushing the dressing room after every training session.
We actually did. That is genuine, to be fair, but anyway.
Yeah, I believe it. But on that point, we obviously had the football club last week with two stars from the Inside the Kerry dressing room who were brilliant, gave us great time, and we had a great chat with them. We have our next episode on a Wednesday. Who wants to reveal our next guest?
One of the greats. You can
do it. Go for it, Paddy.
Brilliant. And someone who you mentioned what we were talking about earlier, who was onside with speaking and giving the public and supporters a bit of access and detail around Pádraic Joyce, obviously the current Galway manager, and they had probably a tough season on their side, but we went over to Killarearen, North Galway. Tavi, you were fucking it up. it was a brilliant day to see the club. And I'm a little bit older than you guys, but I think anyone who grew up in the 90s and 90s would look at Pádraic Joyce as one of the... I still remember him as the player. You know, this iconic footballer. We're forwards. I wanted to play like him. And he's gone on to be a manager as well. But I thought it was a brilliant afternoon chatting with someone who is... Yeah, he's the current Galway manager, but he's also just a GAA icon, and he was very good with his time. He was spot on.
Yeah, kind of learned, James, how much the club meant to him as well. Like, we spent a lot of time talking about, as Paddy said, his brilliant football career, as much as we did about inter-county management in 2025.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can tell he's very, very strong on the club, which is... It is the foundation of the whole thing. But as well, he gave a good insight at the very end about, I suppose, the relationship with his father and how he kind of would have the odd word with him maybe before games or after games. I just thought that was so interesting as well. Just
that was very Irish, that dynamic.
Very Irish, exactly. Yeah, yeah, but we should maybe ask that question to everyone and say, you know, who was it in your life when you were younger that maybe had that word that stuck with you? Or whose opinion would you genuinely take on board, even if it was harsh or if it was critical? Because I think we missed a little bit of an aspect of how much an impact that can have on people. So I thought it was a brilliant interview. Love talking to him. Such a sound fella.
But also, Jimmy, isn't it like that he's obviously a little bit older now, and we all have stories with getting advice from people in the club or teachers in school or anything. And probably at the time, you probably don't, maybe not in all cases, but there's certain times you don't take it on board or you receive it the wrong way, and you might look back at our age now, or Pádraic's a little bit older than us, and go, do you know what, that was actually, I get that now. I understand that. And look, he obviously had one of the most amazing career. Like, so it was just great to see, like you're talking about, Tommy, getting to know the stars of our game, and he's definitely one of the most high profile guys. And he was, I think listeners will be very interested in hearing his right from the Sigurdsson Cup days up to this season managing Galway and everything in between. So it was a brilliant afternoon.
That's the Football Pod Club with AIB. That's out on Wednesday. It's episode 2 of this year's series. We've got 4 episodes on your coming away. We're actually recording our 3rd one on Friday. We will fill you in on that down the line.
Driving across country for it, or is it somewhere more?
Well, you're driving across country, but it's not too far from you. It's the Mead side of Dublin you're heading to.
Okay, Jesus, thank God.
I'm being screwed over again.
Hey, Jimmy, we were in your gaff basically recording with the lads, like, Jesus Christ. Like.
That's true. I put it into Google Maps. 4 hours, 40 minutes.
Yeah, but...
And that was last night at about 11 o'clock at night with no traffic.
I'll drive you. I usually do. I look after you.
You'll have to do it now. Get the Christmas shopping done up in Navan Shopping Centre or wherever we're going.
We're not far from Navan, no.
I get 4 new tyres on the car.
Paddy, just before we move on here, and
we're recording at lunchtime here, so I'll let the two of you go briefly. I want to get into some of the games as well, some brilliant club action. But Mayo's decision to have 17-year-old Cobham McDonald in training with the senior panel, he's obviously agreed a pre-contract move to St Kilda, right? It's brilliant that he's in with them. Some people I've sensed maybe on social media, there's always people who are negative, but you've seen a couple of people saying, what are Mayo doing? Sure, he's off to St Kilda. But it just reminded me of summer 2012, Kieran Kilkenny makes his debut for the Dubs in Championship. He signs a contract with Hawthorn. He does pre-season with them. And next thing, he turns around in January and he reverses his decision and comes back with the Dubs, and the rest is history. Oh. Well, how do you read that Kobe move by Andy Moran and Mayo, that they're having him in integrated in the senior panel already?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. You want to make staying at home and playing for your county as attractive as humanly possible. You want to engage this young, hopefully future star, there's no guarantee, but engage him in your team. And I'm sure Andy is hoping that maybe he loves this thing so much. And he deserves to be there. He's one of the standout players in the Mayo Club Championship as well. So he might turn around in the summertime and have a Kieran Kilkenny type change of heart. I'd be interested in what would his dad think. Would his dad love to see him win at the grand final in the MCG, which would be incredible, or lift the Sam Maguire with Mayo? So, no, I totally get Andy's side of things, that, and I'm sure Kerry or any county would look, here's a brilliant young player, let's try and integrate him into our team. And if he goes, he goes. But look, lots of players have gone and come back a couple of years later. So I totally get it. And I go back to your social media, Tommy. Stop reading those comments from fucking ages giving out about everything.
Fair point. It wasn't my social media that time. It was just, anyways, you know, absolutely fair point. And as we mentioned, the AFLW, Vicky Wall, Blaheim Bogue, Eric O'Shea and Amy Gavin were all a part of the North Melbourne Kangaroos squad that won back-to-back AFLW Champs. Titles at the weekend.
Yep.
Champs, 27-0 for the season.
Ooh.
And obviously young Charlie Smith kicking that 56-yard field goal in the NFL last night was pretty cool.
I saw that Sky Sports News, unbelievable. I said, oh, he got it. It was so cool. Straight.
And his family and Tyke Leader, actually, who was involved in getting over, actually made it over. They only found out on Saturday, I think, that he was going to make his debut. So they
class.
Were over in the stadium.
Fair play. That was cool. Magic.
Oh, congrats. Loads of success there. We're going to be back after this talking the club action at the weekend. Paddy, some brilliant games at the weekend. Scotstown, who have been knocking on the door. They had these great teams in the 70s and the 80s. They won four Ulster titles back then. You know, they had the Murrays, they had Beggins, they had loads of them back then that were the McCarvilles pulling the strings and the Moynas in the 80s. But they've fallen short in Ulster campaigns despite dominating Monaghan for much of the last 10 years or so. At the weekend, they're up against this young, ravenous, brilliant Newbridge side from Derry who are full of brothers. There is five McGrogans, three Dohertys, two Youngs, you know, another clatter of brothers as well. And Newbridge were 9 points down at halftime. Newbridge were 9 points down on 45 minutes. Newbridge were 8 points down on 52 minutes and somehow pulled it back to a draw. And eventually Scotland set them off in penalties.
They got there at the end. They got there. That would have been, you said it, Tommy, that would have been such a sickener. Scotstown have been on the road a long time, and I thought it was fitting. Darren Hughes, of course, steps up with the win on penalty, fairly throws the laces into that one, and they're into the final. But it would have been such a difficult one for Scotstown to lose as well, because you said it, that Newbridge team, it's their kind of first run at this. Glen have been obviously the dominant team over the last couple of years in Derry, and
second run to Newbridge.
But in terms of potentially trying to go on and win the Ulster club and go on and replicate what Glenn did and win an All-Ireland title, Scotstown would have been on the road a little bit longer. There's two ways you can look at it from their side, that they put themselves into positions like that and couldn't see it out. But then there's another way you could say, well, look, the grit and that experience that they built up over the last number of years will stand to win an Ulster final if they play Kilcoo. But I thought it was brilliant. I was rooting on the Scotstown side, because you feel like we've been on that bit of a journey with them, watching them over the last number of years. But like Jimmy always says, these club games, Leinster game's not great on Saturday, but most of these, particularly when you get to provincial finals and into the All-Ireland series in January, they're going to go down to the last couple of minutes. And that bit of experience, Darren Hughes, top corner, Penno. Beautiful. Conditions didn't look too hot though. Jesus. Looking at the couch, curled up, I was like, oh, I'm so happy I'm retired.
the Athletic grounds held up and the rain only started going later on in the game. But yeah, Began took the first penalty and roofed it. Hughes apparently wanted to take the first one, and he said Big Rowe decided to take the first one, which I thought was pretty cool. Nailed it. And like Began again, like he did against, where did Began score before the Hooter? Was it the All-Ireland quarterfinal? He sends over a two-pointer at the Hooter against Donegal. He does it again from play. Wait, like just before the Hooter, and it's so nonchalant the way he slots it over the bar to send him nine up. But like James, like the Newbridge comeback, right? So there's a clatter of these lads obviously playing Derry senior, but there's a lot of them playing Derry under 20s as well. And there's one young fella, Sean Young, who pulled the strings for a lot of this game. And just his two-pointer, I think, late on in the game that brought it from 3 points back to one. Like there's seconds left. Like they win a turnover. Like Newbridge is high pressed. They were really brave throughout the game. They got a goal from it a few minutes beforehand. But Young just gets this ball in the middle of the field. He's kind of different looking, isn't he? He's long, he's rangy, two-footed.
But I mean, you're talking late in the game, very late in the game. Heavy legs, the conditions, soft pitch. And he takes off and he is gliding. He's eating up ground. And then to just be able to steady himself and throw over a two-pointer under pressure, it was an unbelievable score. And he looks like a really, really quality player. Because if you're that size, these new rules, we're saying it all the time, you need the size, but you got to move. You got to be able to run. No matter where you're, I know he had 14 in his back, but he's going to be out the field. You need to be able to move. And the speed he showed there to eat up the ground and throw over a two-pointer was sensational. So I can't wait to see more of him.
Yeah, and just a mention as well for Conor McAteer, who kicks the equaliser in normal time and then again fists one over in injury time. Like, just there's a lot of battle in that Newbridge side, and they needed it to get by the likes of Glenn and Schlockneil in the last couple of years. And Sean Young, as I mentioned, part of a Derry under 20 side that were knocked out in an Ulster semi final this year by Tyrone, back to back All Ireland champions Tyrone. Like, they only lost that game by 2 points. And
he'll get more out of that run with the club.
Definitely.
That run with the club where they're relying on him, he needs to show leadership, he needs to come up with big plays, that'll stent him. You know, the fact that he was fresh going into that and off he went, played brilliantly, that'll stent him. And you know what's the other thing about the penalties? I think the order of your penalties is huge. The first fella up, right, is the most pressure's on number one. So the fact that Began decided, I'm taking that, I'm going to have the responsibility.
Yeah,
he's the man. That is saying I'm the man. I like that. Fifth is more of a, I'm going to take the winning one.
Well, fifth was going to be Conor McCarthy. Conor McCarthy would have been the fifth. Hughes was the fourth.
Yeah. The pressure's on the fifth as well, definitely. But I mean,
so are you accusing Darren Hughes of being an egomaniac? Is that what you're reading between the lines here? Darren Hughes was one of the great modern players, and you're saying he's an egomaniac. He was doing a Ronaldo on it, basically. Jimmy, that is harsh.
That's over the top.
In fairness,
no, I like a fella putting a hand up to say the first one, because it's when everyone is really nervous. You need a good start. You need to get.
Yeah.
If you miss that one, it's like.
Yeah. Chasing your tail, aren't you?
It's today or day.
It's tricky, all right. I was listening to Began and Hughes, Darren Hughes, talking to Thomas Niblock afterwards. Began was talking about the experience, the grit, but also the want and the feeling that they can go and get the job done, albeit it'll be a very tough game against Kilcoo in the Ulster final. They're a team in a mission. A lot of younger lads have come into that Scotland team as well in the last couple of years. Some of the Maguires.
That'll be
Tommy Mallon.
I'm intrigued to see the final. Two very experienced teams. Conditions probably aren't going to be too hot, but they're going to keep in the ball. I feel like that would be more aligned to the older style of play from both of those teams. But look, it's intriguing to see. Like I said, they're both on a journey. See who comes out on top there. And if you win that, you're into the final four. But the teams that are left in it now, I know we're still at the provincial final stage, but they're looking
to the big one.
Yeah, I think so. When you get to the stage,
but with the teams that are gone, you'd be mad. Well, you have to try not to, but you would definitely seep in somewhere.
We have Dingle in the Bars on Sunday, and after the Leinster semi-finals at the weekend on Saturday, as part of the doubleheader with the hurling, we've got Ballyboden St. Enda's up against Athy. Lads, we're not going to linger too long in these two, because you know Athy bet Port Ireland by 8 points, but they were in control for a lot of it. Port missed an early penalty. They got a couple of great two-pointers early in the second half of the win, but Athy were far stronger, and Ballyboden St. Enda's were just so much better than Tullamore on Saturday. Big, strong, and actually, that size was a big thing, because Tullamore, Tullamore, you know, physically didn't have it, but like you would have been thinking in terms of football wise, of loads of quality young footballers, and they just couldn't get their running game going. Ballyboden blew them away 219 to 10 points. So that's going to be a really interesting Leinster final this Saturday. And actually, I'm going to get to the Connacht final in a minute because there was some trends that were similar. But the game of the weekend, lads, the bloody game of the weekend. And I know you mightn't have seen it because you've got lots on and there's lots of other games happening, but it's my job to be on top of all this stuff. The game of the weekend was Tubber Clare of Westmeath 4-16, Hunterstown Rovers 4-12. It was absolutely bananas. I mentioned it this morning on Off the Ball, the Loaf of Bread GA podcast, probably the second best named podcast in the country after the Football Pod, mentioned at the weekend that you got to watch back the last couple of minutes of this, and the commentary adds to it. I think Stephen Yore from Loud is doing it, and it's so local, but it's also so like it's like the greatest sporting thing he's ever witnessed. The Westmeath champs, Tubber Clare, went 8 points up with like 4 minutes to go. Matty Whitaker, brilliant Westmeath footballer, scores this wonder goal. And then Ryan Burns, who's had such a glorious year with Loud this year, just inspires his team, sets up a goal, scores a goal, scores a two-pointer. That's 8 points in 2 minutes.
Sprays it across towards the far side. Kieran Russell back in, it goes as far as David Finn to Ryan Burns. Oh my goodness, I do not believe it. It's Ryan Burns
and it's level. Ryan, they pulled Burns it back, and they're going absolutely bananas in Loud, in Stabannan, at this bloody game. They're going, it's like the whole place is like on fire, and next thing Tubber Clare break down the field, and it's so cruel. It is so cruel. But the referee gives a penalty for a foot block, like a diving block to stop a goal. It goes over the bar, and the referee gives a penalty, and that's it. Tubber Clare get the job done, and they're going to play Salins in the Leinster Intermediate Final. But if you could get a chance to watch it back, or if Clubber share it, it was just such a good game. And then on Sunday, we mentioned already the Scotstown Newbridge Classic. I was at the Connacht Final, St. Bridget's 116, Mike Cullen 114. When I tell you, lads, if you were to look at this game in stats, it didn't make sense that Bridges won it. Apart from the only stat that mattered, the scoreboard in them. Like, Mike Cullen wiped the floor with them in midfield. They destroyed the kick out for a lot of the game, and Bridges eventually found the way. And actually, their forwards, like the likes of Ben O'Carroll, Connor Hand is just so good. 7 points from play, 2 two-pointers. I think Bridget's are going to go far. Obviously, lost the All-Ireland final in 23, but
they're in the final four, like, so they are far.
Yeah, sorry, but they're playing the Ulster champions. Ulster champions next, Kilku or Scotstown. So that game and the manner in which they figured it out is going to bring them along. Did you see Rory Fallon's goal? 15 yards out, ball falls to him. Rifles it to the back of the net, an absolute rocket. But I think we're seeing a lot of goals like that at the minute. Fella's not afraid to go for it.
Pull the trigger. Yards.
Yeah. James, you want to talk about Glenn's letter just before we go? The letter that Glenn wrote to all the clubs around the country at the weekend. It caught the eye before the weekend. They're essentially saying that if clubs want the split season to remain as it is, they need to make a move. They need to speak up. They need to canvass their delegates that they cannot allow the GAA at Congress in February to extend the intercounty season by 2 weeks. They say that 2 weeks won't become 2 weeks. It'll become 6 weeks. It'll become 4 weeks. And essentially, we'll enter a semi-pro era of Gaelic football where the club and the county player are totally separate.
Mm. Well, whatever about the dates and that side of it, that's one argument. But I can understand where they're coming from in terms of the club scene, because the county scene, as we were saying 15 minutes ago, where we need to put these players on a pedestal and we need to make them stars, it's going to become, it's already huge. It's only going in one direction. Like, the whole inter-county scene is just gigantic. And I'd be a massive advocate for the clubs. I think the clubs are the most important thing. But if we're not careful, you know, it can easily be pushed down the pecking order. Because I even see, you know, in Kerry, they're on about, you know, maybe taking out one or two competitions for the clubs because the county fellas, you know, need a rest and this kind of thing. It's all just little things that can happen until eventually we are just county, which can be dangerous. Like, I even see, like I mentioned there with the lads from Derry, I think playing for your club gives you so much feel-good factor and so much development as well, because you have to be a leader. You have to play for your parish, for your family, for your team. Whereas I think at the moment, the root of everything is kind of down the development squad's route, where it's great for maybe the best players, but a lot of players are just kind of becoming a bit vanilla, especially personality-wise, because everyone is doing the same.
Do you think there's too many development squads or too many players in the net of development squads? Is that what you're saying? Because back when I was younger, it'd be the elite. It'd be the best of the best that would be called up, maybe 30, but development squads are so big and so vast, and there's so many age groups now, isn't there? Am I right?
Yeah, and if you're left out of that, you're probably behind. That's the thing, but I just think that developing with your club is so powerful because it develops more than just your skills. You know, you have to be a leader. You have to show example. You have to kind of drive it on and set standards. So I just don't want the clubs to be left behind in any way, shape or form here. And it's, you know, the split season is great for the clubs. I think we need to keep that. And just be careful with every move we make that it doesn't affect us too much.
Can we keep it, but also extend the inter-county season by a week or two, which is what they're talking about here. Now, the Glenn letter is very strongly written that even if you give in 2 weeks, it's going to become September. Now, I'm not necessarily sure that's true. Paddy, I don't know what your take is on. There's 2 points here. There's the, I suppose there's the erosion of connection with young players, with their clubs. Like there's nearly, they're in with the county too early, or it's too important too early. I don't know. Are you seeing that? Like, is there a bit of that happening around the country? I get the sense there's a bit of that happening.
I don't know. Like, you look at, say, for example, one of the first early adapters of the development squads was Tyrone. And you look at the success, they've been kind of the standard bearers. And you look at even the most recent success this season, 2025, that's on the back of brilliant development squads and brilliant coaching. And they have formed the foundation of, you know, a period of, you would feel, success for Tyrone over the next decade as well. So development squads, I think, are a good thing, that it gives players an opportunity at a young age, between 14 and 15 years of age, to represent their county and play with players that they play against in their clubs or their schools and form that connection as well. So that's not what Glenn are getting at in terms of dissolving development squads or anything like that. But it's a challenge. There's no two ways about it. And this is not a new debate. Maybe the split season has brought it more front and centre of the balance between players who are playing with their county and are on squads, of maybe squads have gotten bigger, you know, 30, 35 players. There's maybe 10 or so guys who are not really playing. You know, they're not even in match day squads, but they're out with the county and they're missing club games. Where would they be better served playing more club games and things like that? Absolutely they would. But that balance can be tricky at times for players. So, and it's a hard one for the GAA to come in with a blanket. This is the rulings around this going forward, because each county has their nuances. Each county has their own fixture schedules, all that type of thing. And players have different relationships with their clubs as well and things like that. So, it's a tricky one. I do get the sentiment where Glenn are coming from, that they feel the club is being pushed into the background with the split season. I tell you, the 2 week gap thing is better for players to extend the season a little bit. The intercount season is not going back to September. Darla Burns,
you don't think so? Okay,
no chance, because concerts. Darla Burns was very open about this. He said it. He was like, these concerts that we run in Crow Park towards the end of August and September fund a hell of a lot of operations and projects around the GAA. So Crow Park is going to be used for concerts at that time of year. And he was black and white, totally transparent. He goes, that's the story. So I think that's a moot point from Glenn, but I do get the sentiment behind it. But development squads, lads, don't just knock all the fucking development squads. Are they perfect? Every other sport has pathways for the best players to be there. Could they be run more efficiently? It's a big thing in Dublin. We've so many bloody young players that are they running as efficiently as they possibly can? But I think they're generally quite a good thing for young players to get that exposure.
Yeah, I guess I didn't attend to knock them in a general sense. I just guess that there is a sentiment of an erosion about the importance of the club, and like the club should always be there for you. Like the club will be there as your first port of call when you start playing GA, and it's probably your last port of call too. You know, intercounty season or intercounty career won't last long. Your college GA career doesn't last longer than 3 or 4 years. Well, for some maybe it lasts a lot longer, but for most people, it doesn't. And your club is the one thing, the one constant that you have. Or even if you move to a new area, like for myself, for example, you know, you make a lot of friends and you get to know a lot of people if you move into it and you get to stuck in with a club. So I just think the club is very important. And it's worth noting as well that Glenn feel in isolation, a 2 week, you know, extension of the season is entirely sound. But I think they fear that it'll become much more than that. So it's, look, there's going to be savage debates about this over the next couple of weeks. I know dual counties, particularly Galway and Cork, are very against any extension at all, given the type of championships that they run in their counties.
That's what I mean. You're trying to align 32 separate counties on this. Like, it's, it is hard.
The only, my points on it are, is how much of a juggernaut the intercounty scene is. Like, it is only going in one direction. Like, the amount of coverage that every game gets, everyone wants to be part of it. You just want to drag the clubs along as much as you can rather than separate. And on the development squads, obviously they're a brilliant thing. Develop players, and we're going to see a higher level of sport. It just, at times, can sanitize some parts of players that the club scene brings along, those rougher parts of you and, you know, a bit more personality and soul about you as well that is key in GA, because that's what GA is about.
Yeah,
that's just what I think
that's very fair. At the weekend as well, we had Kilkerr and Clonburn chasing 5 in a row All-Ireland titles, reached the All-Ireland final. They're going to play Moneyglass, the first Antrim side to reach it. That's in 2 weeks' time. This weekend, as I mentioned, the Leinster senior final at Tye Ballyboden, the Munster intermediate final, and Gaelic took it against... Oh, I've done it again. Ahabalogue. Okay, I think I got it right. And so many Ahabalogue people reached out to me and said, I did okay with the pronunciation, but I think I've made it worse now. And then Ballymacallaghan against Budavant in the junior final, in the Munster as well. And then on Sunday, we've got the Munster senior final, Dingle against the Bars. We'll be talking about that next week on Monday's Football Pod. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, thank you very much. The Football Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships in men's football, hurling, ladies football and camogie, for the life you're after. Boys, we will leave it there and we will catch up very soon. There's a lot happening and there's more to talk about next week. We'll also be talking Friday. I got to catch you boys after this. We got to talk plans for Friday for our recording, and enjoy the Pork Joys episode if you happen to tune in on Wednesday. It's out then.
Good to chat as always, lads. Chat later in the week.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, fellas.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.